Good evening and welcome to the Church of the Epiphany. I'm Father Duffner, for any of you who might be visitors from afar, and the pastor here. This evening we're pleased to welcome Paul Zuccarelli, and he's going to share with us his story, a story of faith, a story that's not just about himself, but about so many other things that can renew us and refresh us and give us new life and give us hope. And so it's with great pleasure that we bring him in tonight. Also now, Sue Lewis is going to give us the formal introduction.
Just to tell you a little bit about how the evening is going to go. After Paul's about 1 hour talk, we will have a free will offering to help cover some of the expenses of the mission and also hospitality in the cafeteria. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Paul's bio, Paul Zuccarelli grew up in North Buffalo, New York, and attended Clarence Central High School and graduated from Canisius College. Paul married his high school sweetheart, Beth, and they moved to Arizona. They have two sons and will soon be welcoming their fifth grandchild. Paul was a very successful businessman and held many senior executive positions and ownership positions of companies. By his own admission, he was a lukewarm Catholic and took his faith mostly for granted. Paul's health suddenly deteriorated, which required immediate open-heart surgery. On Pentecost Sunday, 2017, he would be clinically dead for approximately 2 hours. Now, he's going to talk more about this on Wednesday night, but I'm going to explain it for those of you who might not be here on Wednesday, and just to give you a little background. During this episode that lasted 2 hours, his suffering and that of his family witnessing this trauma was too much for them to bear without Christ. God did intervene and showed his mercy and divine presence to Paul and his family. During this death, Paul was taken into the light of our Lord and experienced a supernatural private revelation of life and death and returned to testify that Jesus Christ is alive indeed. Through the prayers of many, including Bishop Olmsted, Paul miraculously returned to life and was healed. Paul explains that often God invites us to suffer and enter into his passion with him. What appears as trials beyond human capacity and capabilities are really God drawing us to him, God who is love and mercy itself. Paul understands now that God was simply purifying the imperfections of his soul and drawing him even closer to him. Often, the greater the suffering, the greater God's love is manifested to those who simply have faith. After this occurred, Paul left his worldly ambitions behind and lives to evangelize Christ crucified for all mankind. He is a nationally recognized speaker and author, and all proceeds from his family's ministry, Faith Understood, are donated to support the religious orders, namely the Sisters of Life and the Franciscan Friars of the Holy Spirit. Please join me in welcoming Paul as he shares about his transformational change that brought about a supernatural miracle and the grace, amazing grace given to Paul by our Lord. He ends with this quote from our Padre Pio, right? Blessed is the crisis that makes you grow, the fall that made you look to heaven, and the problem that made you seek God. Please help me welcome Paul.
Thank you very much. I'm the only one that stands between you and refreshments, right? But welcome to the mission. And I hope you can come tomorrow night and Wednesday night and learn more. And we'll give our personal testimony to Christ to what actually happened on Wednesday. It's an honor to be here with you today. And may I begin with an opening prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear good and gracious God, we simply want to thank you for the greatest gift you've given us, which is your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Pour forth your Spirit, I beseech you, Lord, upon the participants here and their families and loved ones. Bring about your grace and blessing on them. As we meditate on your passion and we go deeper in learning more about our faith, we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. To the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, this particular talk is on Marian apparitions. And by the way, these presentations are on your website. So tomorrow night you could print them. A lot of people like to make notes. Feel free to print them and bring them. But if I had to title this mission, because we've done it very often, it would be called The Supernatural. We're going to learn over the next 3 nights the supernatural is the true reality. You see, we're human creatures, and we have 5 senses, right? Seeing, touch, smelling, taste, and hearing. And we process the world through those 5 senses. That's the natural order. And we have finite brains, and everything we do with those 5 senses is how we think, react, emotions, etc. But that's it. That's all we got. But there's a reality occurring that we can't see, touch, smell, taste, or feel. And we're going to be studying that the next 3 nights. So think about the supernatural. So Marian apparitions, let's start with, okay, who is Mary? She's the greatest creature that God ever made inside of time and space, because we live inside of time and space. God does not. And she wears 3 hats that we sometimes take for granted. Yes, she's a daughter of God the Father, okay? She's the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Theotokos. And her true spouse is the Holy Spirit. So all persons of our triune God, God chose Mary before she was even created. We're going to learn more about her in these apparitions. So know this, Mary cannot appear to us without God's approval. Okay, number 2, she's appearing much more frequently in the last 200 years. And we'll talk about why. This is clearly an overview, but I hope it kindles in your heart a deeper dive with our Blessed Mother. So what are Marian apparitions? There are 26 church-approved Marian apparitions that defy science. Absolutely, they're supernatural. They are known, and I use that word, emphasized, known appearances of Our Lady to human beings. From heaven back to earth. But Our Lady's appearances are always paired with messages to her children. We're her children. So there's a message to us. And a lot of us get wrapped up into the miracle that occurs, or the sign. And that's great, but tonight I want you to think about the message that she's giving us. It's the message that our Blessed Mother wants you to hear and understand. Sometimes there's one eyewitness, like Bernadette at Lourdes, and sometimes there's multiple, like Fatima. So, and these people often become saints. Another misnomer is a Marian apparition only has to be approved by the local bishop. Does not have to be approved by the Vatican and the Pope. So of the 26 apparitions that are approved by the church, 16 were subsequently approved by the Vatican. But the other 10 remain. Just to frame this, there are 4 supernatural things that only occur in the Catholic Church. We dedicated a whole chapter to this in the book, One Lord, One Faith, One Church. If you want to prove the only church on the planet Earth, it's the Catholic Church. There's a whole chapter dedicated to this. Here are the 4 things that only occur in the Catholic Church. Marian apparitions. Number 2, Eucharistic miracles, which we'll talk about tomorrow night. Number three, the incorruptibility of human flesh, saints' bodies. We have our first one in the United States now, it's Sister Wilhelmina, just south of Omaha in Missouri. And then the fourth is the raising of the dead, only in the Catholic Church. St. Vincent Ferrer holds the record in the 14th century. He raised 28 people from the dead. Why? God gave them the apostolic authority to raise the dead in Matthew 10:8. It says it. So, but tonight we're going to do Marian apparitions. We're going to do a mini Bible study about who's Mary. Then you'll really get, I think, the apparitions themselves. We have to look back in time to go forward, because again, we process everything in human time. Do you remember the punishment to the woman in the garden? Genesis 3:16. To the woman, God said, I will intensify your toil in childbearing, and in pain you shall bring forth children. That was the punishment to Eve. But what did Isaiah write? It's at the end of Isaiah's prophecy, he writes, chapter 66. Before she was even in labor, she brought forth. Before her time had come to deliver, she brought forth a male child. Who has heard of such a thing? So here's Isaiah saying, wait a minute, I'm prophesying there will be a woman that will not have labor pains, even though that was the punishment to women. And she'll bring forth a child. And he says, who's heard, shall the earth bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be brought forth at once? Zion has been in labor and hath brought forth her children. Here it is. This is why we're here today. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring forth upon her a river of peace, and as an overflowing torrent and glory to all Gentiles. Written by Isaiah, the end of his prophecy. All Gentiles. So, and then again in Isaiah, he says, listen, house of David, must you weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman, pregnant and about to bear a son, shall be named Emmanuel, God with us. You see, if we follow the breadcrumbs, they're there in Scripture. It leads us to Our Lady. Remember, God promised to protect the house of Israel. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Catholic Church is the remnant of Israel. That's why they were all Jewish. Catholicism is the natural extension of Judaism. Mary, our mother, was the first Christian. She literally birthed the church so that the Gentiles can have salvation. This is another good one in the Old Testament. It's from Jeremiah 31, chapter 31. It's the only time the Lord says there'll be a new covenant. It's the only time it appears in the Old Testament. And we know Christ is the new covenant. But nine verses before that, in 31:22, Jeremiah writes this. How long, God said this, thus says the Lord, how long will you continue as my rebellious daughter? Yeah, Israel was rebelling against God. And it really happened with Solomon. Solomon married thousands of women, built pagan temples to their gods. Israel kind of got off the rails there and then went downhill from there. But God says this, I will create something new upon the earth. And when I read that, I went, wait a minute, I thought creation was over in Genesis. God says, I'm going to create something new on earth. A woman encompasses a man. And if you look in your Bible, it's all capitalized, every one of those letters. A woman shall encompass a man. Now, wait a minute. I thought woman came from man, not man coming from woman. And if you look at the word encompass, it's a participatory verb. It means to create something with complete perfection. Complete perfection. So, when you think about our Blessed Mother, think about the fall. The devil himself, Satan, is a great manipulator. Okay? He doesn't create anything. But he was clever enough to use three pieces of God's creation to create the fall. What did he need? Okay? He needed a prideful woman. You will be like God. Eat of it. He needed a disobedient man, Adam. And he needed the tree of life. God made all three, and he manipulated. How are we restored? Think of reverse engineering. If it started with a prideful woman, it's got to start with a humble woman. May it be done unto me according to thy word. I am the handmaid of the Lord. He needs an obedient man, obedient unto death. I only came to do the Father's will in the human nature, to die on the cross. And then he needs the dead wood that represents the tree of life, the dead wood that will then become our entrance back into the garden, heaven. Here's one more Old Testament from Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, least among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, God says, one who is to be the ruler of all of Israel, whose origin is from old of ancient times, born of the Father before all ages. Can be start thinking about outside of time and space. It's right here. Because Jesus was born of the Father before all ages. He's God. Therefore, the Lord will give them up until the time when she, Mary, who is to give birth, has born, and the rest of her kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall take his place as a shepherd by the strength of God and by the majestic name of the Lord, his God. Jesus Christ truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From the book of Sirach. The book of Sirach has multiple translations. I use Dewey Reams, the first translation to English in 1582 from Jerome's Latin. From the woman came the beginning of sin, and by her we all die. Yes, the transgression started with Eve, who then gave it to Adam. And Adam blamed her, and she blamed the serpent. Remember the story? It's always, well, I don't take responsibility. They did. No, they made me do it. But listen to this in Sirach. This is the prophecy of Mary. I am the mother of fair love and of fear and of knowledge. That's right out of Proverbs 1. God is the person of love and all knowledge and wisdom. She says, I am the mother of this. And it says this. And of holy hope, because in me is all grace of the way and the truth and the life. And in me is all hope of eternal life and virtue. It all begins with Mary. Redemption will enter the world through Mary. Salvation occurs on the cross. It's all there in the Bible, Old Testament. Then in the New Testament, God makes a covenant in Jesus through Mary. And you know what Luke wrote, the only Gentile writer of the Gospels. And the angel said unto her, Hail, full of grace. There's only two people in the Bible that are full of grace. Jesus Christ himself and Mary, the mother of God. You see, God can't enter sin. God and sin cannot coexist. And we'll talk about the Immaculate Conception in a minute. And he writes, Behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and shall bear forth a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be called Son of the Most High God, and the Lord will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will reign in the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. There's your eternity outside of time and space. No end. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore also the Holy, which shall be born of thee, will be called the Son of God. Gabriel to Mary. And then again, the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, and it came to pass, Elizabeth heard the salutation to Mary. The infant leapt in her womb. Who's the infant? John the Baptist. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. St. Paul was the first person that wrote down the incarnation. It's in Galatians. And this kind of ties it all together. He wrote this in 51 AD. But when the fullness of time was completed, now it sounds like bad English, but it's not. What Paul's trying to say is, we're trying to put things in time and space. He's not. When the fullness of time was completed, this is God's time, not ours, God sent his son, this is what Paul wrote, made of a woman. Made under the law, she was Jewish, that he might redeem them who are under the law, and that we, the Gentiles, receive adoption. You see, God, through the Holy Spirit, gave Jesus his divine nature. Mary gave him his human nature. It's known as the hypostatic union, and it doesn't change. When you meet Jesus, he will be human and divine. He doesn't change. So, remember the Ark of the Covenant was lost, right? About 600 BC in 2 Chronicles and Maccabees. There's no mention of the Ark of the Covenant until Revelation chapter 12. Because in Mary's womb is the high priest, Christ, substituting the staff that was in the Ark of the Old Covenant, Aaron's staff. And in Mary's womb is the true bread of life, the Eucharist, we'll talk about that tomorrow, that replaces the manna from the Old Testament. And the third thing in the Old Testament, in the Ark of the Covenant, were the Ten Commandments, the do's and don'ts that the Israelites had to have in writing. But you don't need tablets anymore, because in Mary is God himself, the living God that's inscribed in every human heart. So in Revelation 12, the ark, this is what it says. God's temple in heaven was open, John saw it. Now notice he doesn't see the throne room, he doesn't see God, he writes this. And the Ark of the Covenant was seen in his temple. So John saw it, and he describes it. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars. It's Mary, the Blessed Mother. She's the Ark of the new, she's carrying the new covenant, literally. So Revelation 12 then goes on to talk about the son that she will bear will rule the world and have no end, but the serpent will chase the woman into the desert, trying to devour the son before he's born. Now, if you talk to our Protestant brothers and sisters, they will absolutely agree with you. That little boy, the son, the boy, the male child, that's Jesus. They'll also tell you, oh, that serpent guy, he's the devil. If you ask him, well, who's the woman? Oh, that's Israel. That's half true, but not, we don't deal with half truths. Point out at the end of chapter 12, John wrote this. And the serpent took his stand on the shore of the sea in the sand against the woman whose offspring believe in Jesus Christ. Israel doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Christians do. It has to be Mary. Anyway, a little Catholic apologetics. Let's jump into apparitions. Why are they important to our faith? Because according to the church doctrine, all private revelations ended with the last apostle's death, which was St. John at about 100 AD. However, St. Michael, which you're going to hear about in some of these apparitions, who is the greatest creature God made outside of time and space, he's an eternal being. Mary's the greatest creature God made inside of time and space. That's why both of them have legions of angels. These apparitions are approved in the real, and they demonstrate the supernatural visibility of God himself, if we pay attention. And what is Mary doing in all these apparitions? She's leading us to her son, Jesus Christ. That's the goal line. And as a caring mother, she wants the church militant, that's us who are still living, to be guided into the arms of the Father, reconciled with God the Father through Jesus, so we can become the church triumphant. And of course, we pray for the church suffering, which are those souls in purgatory. So I said earlier, the miraculous events that you're going to hear about, that's not validation of the apparition. It's the messages of Our Lady. So I said before, there are 16 Vatican-approved apparitions. We're going to study tonight Our Lady Guadalupe. And we're going to study tonight Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, some of the more prominent ones. But again, there's a list of all of them if you want to do your own studying. But about 200 years, they've been occurring. They're all reoccurring. And they principally, a lot of them start in France. Why? Freemasonry. The church is under attack in France. Okay? The French Revolution. I think, therefore I am. No, you don't think and therefore you exist. That's consciousness. You are because God made you. So a lot of them occur in France. So let's go into the first one. We're also gonna tackle two more. Our Lady of Akita, Japan. It's a very, very, very prominent warning to us. And Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Garabandal, Spain, for the signs of the times. By the way, many of you probably know the only Marian apparition site approved in the United States is Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, Wisconsin. I assume many people have been there. If you haven't, go. Thank you. Go. It's unbelievable. So briefly, we're going to talk about those two. Our Lady of Guadalupe, why is this important? 1531, December 8th to 12th. Let's paint the picture. We're taught in the United States that Christianity came to the New World through pilgrims and Puritans. 1600s on the coast? No. Christianity came to the New World in 1493 on the second voyage of Christopher Columbus, financed by the King and Queen of Spain, who were Catholic. On the second voyage in 1493, the first voyage was too dangerous to bring priests. He brought five to begin baptizing. And then they realized these Aztecs, they do human sacrifice. Okay? So we need the conquistadors. We need the army to come with us to help convert this. This is going to be violent. What's going on in Europe? Martin Luther. Okay, you've got Calvin, Switzerland. They're draining the swamp. 5 million Catholics leave the faith in Europe. King Henry, Church of England. So what happens over here in the New World? Mary's filling the bucket again. She appears to Juan Diego, a peasant, and asks for a church to be built in her honor. Tepeyac Hill was the location. And if you study the tilma itself, which we'll get into, it's mind-boggling what's on her. Black bow under her breast tied. It's a symbol of a pregnant Jewish woman. If you take a stethoscope and hold it to Mary's womb and the tilma, you'll hear two heartbeats. One faster, it's a boy, it's a man, versus her own. The stars arranged in her tilma are the constellation on December 12th, which the Aztec Indians would have recognized was their holy day, their pagan gods. So God knows how to connect with us, okay? Prior to this apparition, the church had two Marian dogmas. Theotokos, Mary's the mother of God, it's a dogma, and she was a perpetual virgin. The third dogma of the church is birth with this apparition, the Assumption of Mary. Why? Because Mary arranged the roses in Juan Diego's tilma to give to the bishop, which we'll talk about, with her physical hands. Third dogma, this apparition. This is what she said to Juan Diego. "My son, I love you. I desire you to know," again, Mary's trying to give us knowledge, "of who I am. I am the ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of the true God," right there. Those are the first two dogmas, "who gives life and maintains its existence, eternal life. He created all things. He's in all places. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. And I desire a church to be built in this place where people may experience my compassion. All those who ask for my help in their work and in their sorrows will know their mother is near. Here I will see their fears and I will console men and they will be at peace. Know for certain that I am the perfect ever Virgin Mary, Mother of the only true God." Quote. So, remember that hypostatic union, Jesus, human and divine, he knows the Ten Commandments, he wrote them. Honor your mother and father. Jesus will always honor Mary, his mother, who's alive with him, sitting at his right hand, as he sits at the right hand of God. She's the queen of heaven and earth. So this tilma is made out of cactus husk, and it naturally deteriorates without any moisture, and they fall apart within 10 to 15 years is their maximum life expectancy. This will be 500 years old in 2031. The colors in the tilma didn't exist in the palette of human origin. It couldn't have been made. The colors didn't even exist. Couldn't have been done by computers or anything. Not only does it not decay, in 1791, someone spilled nitric acid all over it, and it miraculously healed itself. And then in 1921, it survived an unscathed bomb attack from the communists that took over Spain and started killing all the priests, not only in Spain, but in Mexico. The revolution, communist revolution. And guess what saved the tilma? They planted the bomb right underneath Our Lady of Guadalupe. They said, if we kill the faith, that's how we'll take over in communism. There was a giant bronze crucifix that absorbed the entire impact. Glass blew out 10 blocks away from the church. That's how big, and Jesus was bent over on the crucifix protecting the tilma. Nothing happened. It's very important to know that at the time of this, in 1531, the Aztecs practiced not only human sacrifice, they were really into child sacrifice, killing babies. Sound familiar? Like abortion? We need to put an end to this, and Mary did. So the Aztecs had to be converted to Christianity. So Juan Diego goes there a couple times, and the bishop poo-poos him. He's just a peasant. He says, no, I saw the Blessed Mother. You're to build a church to honor Jesus. You're insane. Get out of here. So finally, Mary gives him cotillion roses, which only grow in Spain. And the bishop in Mexico City was from Spain, so he would have known what it was. And this is, again, how the supernatural can communicate with you if you have an open mind. So here comes Juan Diego with the tilma, and he opens it up, and there's the image of Our Lady Guadalupe with the roses. And they fall down, and he realizes this is real. Because it's December in Mexico, roses don't grow on the mountain, let alone from Spain. 9 million Aztec Indians convert to Catholicism within 10 years. 9 million. So as the Protestant Revolution, okay, and they're still protesting, is draining the swamp in Europe, Mary's filling the bucket. That's how Christianity came to the New World, but we don't teach that in public schools. It's one of the most visited Christian pilgrimage sites in the world, 20 million a year. And the Native American Indians have an incredible devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, all the way from the tip of Alaska down to Chile. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Lourdes. This one is really going to hit home because it's more current. Who's Saint Bernadette? There's lots of really good supernatural stuff here, and there's 18 apparitions. She was born in 1844. She was the firstborn of 9 children, and they were extremely poor. Poor Bernadette was always in poor health. She wasn't very intelligent. She didn't even know how to read, and thus she didn't learn enough about her faith for her to even receive her first communion. She yearned for Jesus in the Eucharist. Again, this all dovetails the Eucharist tomorrow. But her days of hard work left little time for learning. Again, she lived her life poor and in poor health and suffered. She died at age 35. She's incorrupt. She looks naturally beautiful. Before you think she's holy, which she is, she's a saint, this was one of her last quotes for you. "They all think I'm a saint, but when I'm dead, they will come and touch holy pictures and rosaries and objects on me. All the while, I'll be getting broiled on a grill in purgatory. At least promise me you'll pray a lot for the repose of my soul." That's a quote from a saint. And you're going to hear Wednesday night about me, how I took my faith totally for granted. As far as I knew, I had one foot in hell and the other on a banana peel. And I'm not kidding. She was beatified on December 8th by Pope Pius XI. Her feast day is April 16th. 3 million people go to Lourdes every year for healing. Many documented miracles occur to this day that are not explainable by any scientist or medical professional. 27,000 gallons of water come forth from the grotto every day. If you'd like 2 little bottles of it, you can write to North American Lourdes Association in Syracuse, New York. If you write to them, they'll send you 2 little bottles of water from Lourdes. So remember the 3 dogmas now we got? Here comes the 4th dogma. Okay? The Immaculate Conception. In 1854, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our church declares the dogma, Mary was immaculately conceived. She was born without sin. She was created perfect, pure. In fact, if you study her human life, Anna and Joachim, they sent her to the temple, a girl, at age 3 after she was weaned. She never came out of the temple until she was like 14 or 15. Then she was betrothed. And that's why, you know, Simeon says, you know, thank you, God, I've now seen, before she's even pregnant, Simeon says this. He says it, my eyes have seen it, I can go now. And of course, your heart will be pierced. And Anna, same thing. Those 2 people actually raised Mary in the temple. It's mind-boggling. So the church says she's immaculately conceived. On February 11th, the first apparition occurs. As she's gathering wood by the grotto with her sister and her friend, she sees a beautiful young lady dressed in white and blue, Our Lady of Lourdes. Why white and blue? White symbolizes purity and sinlessness, while blue symbolizes heavenly grace and divinity that filled her soul. Our Lady of Lourdes appears. She runs home and tells her parents. Her parents forbid her to talk about it or ever return. No, this has left such an impression on an illiterate young girl. She goes back. February 14th, she's compelled in the spirit to go back. And she recites the rosary. And the lady appears at the grotto again, smiling, and she blesses Bernadette with holy water. And she disappears. On February 18th, Bernadette comes back for the third time. Our Lady appears now, and she finally speaks to Bernadette. Bernadette holds out a tray with a pencil, asking Mary to please, who are you? Write your name down. Remember, she's illiterate. She can't write. She can't read. Could you please tell me who you are? And the lady says, it is not necessary. I don't promise, Bernadette, to make you happy in this world, but you will be happy in the next. Will you do me the grace of coming here for a fourth night? A fourth night means 15 consecutive days. Bernadette will come 15 times, and then something miraculous happens. So the next day, she comes again. She goes to the grotto with a candle in her hands. That is why people burn candles at Lourdes all the time. She prays the rosary, and everyone who's present noticed the little girl was transfigured in bright light. Think of the transfiguration. February 20th, she returns, and Our Lady appears and teaches Bernadette a prayer. But when she disappears, Bernadette is saddened, and it haunts her. She was in ecstasy praying the rosary with the lit candle with the Blessed Mother. She was told to pray the rosary daily and the prayer that Mary taught her, but to keep it secret her entire life and never tell anyone. Onlookers literally saw the joy in the little girl's face become troubled with tears because Bernadette was given a vision of the future and the torment that sinners will face. And Mary told her then, always bring candles to the grotto. On the 21st, she returns. There's 100 people with her, including the police and her mother. It's getting out in the community. Like apparitions 4 and 5, she's joyfully praying. Mary tells Bernadette, pray for sinners. The police commissioner afterwards corners the little girl, and he knows she's not very bright, and he begins twisting and turning and putting words in her mouth, trying to get her to trip up, to contradict herself, and tells her, don't ever come here again. Her father gets involved and tells the little girl, you are not to come here anymore. However, she's compelled by Our Lady, and she comes back the next day. With a crowd, she knelt in her customary place. The police are all around her. No one saw anything. And they asked her, did the lady appear? She said, no, she didn't appear at all this time. So they didn't arrest her. The next day, 200 people accompany her. And she appears to Bernadette. And the little girl's transformed again. And they all see it. The men remove their hats and fall down on their knees. They don't see anything, but there's something happening. Okay, the vision will last for an hour. And they asked her, what did the lady say? She said, our mother entrusted me with 3 secrets. It's like the secrets of Fatima. She says, I can never reveal them to anyone. So, the 8th apparition, this one's very poignant. There's 400 people now. The crowds keep growing. The 8th apparition... Same thing happens, except this time Bernadette turns and faces the crowd of people and says 3 words 3 times. Penance, penance, penance. It's why the Lord's given us the sacrament of reconciliation. February, the next day, during the apparition, the lady told her to drink of the fountain and bathe in the waters. And Bernadette looks down, she's in a grotto cave, there's nothing, it's just dirt. And Our Lady points to the ground, and the little girl starts digging in the dirt. And all of a sudden, a pool of water comes up where she's digging. And she begins drinking the dirty water and bathing in it. The next day was full, dripping all over. It's now the Lord's water. And they asked her what she was doing. And she simply said, "It is for sinners." Think about that. The filth, the dirt. She's drinking it, taking it in. And how did the gospel message start with St. John the Baptist? Repent. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Jesus' first statement, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Penance, penance, penance. It's for repentance of sinners. The 10th apparition, more than 800 people are present. The Blessed Mother tells her to kiss the ground on behalf of sinners and repeat to them, penance, penance, penance. The crowd then, 800 people, follow the girl and do the same thing. Conversions. February 28th, there's 2,000 people there. And she enters the grotto. She goes into ecstasy. And Our Lady asks Bernadette, tell the clergy to build a chapel on this site on the grotto. Seeing the ecstasy and the behavior of the 2,000 people, the police take her to the judge. They threaten her to lock her up in prison. Remember, the French Revolution's going on. March 1st, 1858, she defies the judge, and she goes there for the 12th apparition with a priest, thinking they won't arrest her if a priest is with me. The lady asked Bernadette why she was not using her own rosary. She noticed it. Bernadette says, "This is my friend. She thought you would bless it." That evening, a woman by the name of Catherine Latapé was the first documented healing at Lourdes. It was a woman with a withered arm. Picture that. No muscle, can't bend it. She dipped her arm in the pool. It was miraculously healed. 12th apparition. Bernadette arrives again. Next day, prays the rosary. And the lady says, "Go tell the priests they're to come here in procession and build a chapel to my son." She tells the priest that, and the abbot gets really angry at her. He says, "I'm not doing anything until that lady tells me who she is. I need a name. Who is she?" Next apparition, 3,000 people are there, and the lady does not appear. Later that day, Bernadette gets a calling from her to go back to the grotto. She appears and says, "Why isn't the chapel constructed?" Bernadette asks Our Lady for her name. She only smiled at her. Bernadette goes back to the priest and repeats the chapel. He dismisses her curtly and says, "If the lady wants a chapel, she can tell me who she is." Drum roll, here it comes. The 15th apparition. What did Mary say? "Come to me a fourth night." Mary and God, outside of time and space, they know how to manage us because we only process inside. This is the 15th apparition. Everyone in the community knew. There were 20,000 people there. They go into the grotto, and she goes into the ecstasy, and she's transfigured again. After the apparition, she told the crowd that the lady said nothing about ever saying farewell to her, so she planned to come back. The crowd was disillusioned because they didn't see the miracle or hear anything. Now, remember the apparition where she didn't appear with the police? Nothing happened. So technically, this is the 14th apparition. So watch this. Time goes by 3 weeks. It's March 25th. This is how God sends us breadcrumbs. What's March 25th? The Feast of the Annunciation. Right? It's on the Feast of the Annunciation. Mary appears and reveals to Bernadette, "Tell him I am the Immaculate Conception." Bernadette didn't understand. She's illiterate. She kept repeating it to herself. She didn't understand it. Immaculate Conception, Immaculate Conception, Immaculate Conception. She runs to the priest and tells the priest, "I have her identity. She's the Immaculate Conception." Now, an illiterate girl would not know what the church dogma was in Rome 4 years earlier. This is 1858. The dogma was 1854. That's her identity. The priest said, what? She's the Immaculate Conception. 4 years after the dogma approved by the church. Then Bernadette would always bring a candle to the grotto, and she one time unconsciously placed her hand over it when she was in ecstasy, and it burnt for 15 minutes, her hand. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And on Friday, July 16th, after receiving the Eucharist on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, can't make these dates up, it's Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Bernadette receives a calling to go to the grotto, despite how they barricaded it. The prefect, the governor of the town, ordered the whole thing barricaded. They don't like Catholics. You can't go there. She gets a vision to go there. It's all barricaded. She's outside. And Bernadette wrote, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to me one last time. She was the most beautiful person I've ever seen. Let's do Fatima. 59 years later after Lourdes, Fatima. This is the most consistent message about penance and conversion. Our mother's not screwing around. She's holding back God's wrath. He's a God of justice. The Mother of God will appear six times on the 13th of the month from May 17, 1917 to October. The three seers, Francisco and Jacinta Marta, were the cousin of Sister Lucia de Dos Santos, who became a nun. It is the most prophetic message of modern apparitions because they call for urgent, urgent conversion and penance. Our Blessed Mother gave predictions and visions of the seers that include hell. This is where we get the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and we'll talk about that. The prophecy of the Second War and the cataclysmic results of the planet Earth if Russia is not consecrated to her son, Jesus. First apparition, May 13, 1917. About noon, there's flashes of lightning, but no clouds. So that's already supernatural. Our Blessed Mother appears as a lady dressed in white, brighter than the sun. And the seers are within 3 or 4 feet of her, and they're immersed in this light from her, emanating from Mary. Here's an excerpt of the first apparition, the conversation. She says to Lucia, do not be afraid, I will not harm you. And Lucia says, where is your grace from? I am from heaven. Lucia, and what does your grace want of me? She says, I come to ask you to come here for 6 consecutive months on the 13th of each month on the same hour. Lucia goes, will I go to heaven? Yes. Will Lucia go to heaven? Yes. What about Francisco? Yes, but he must pray many rosaries. Well, then you will have much to suffer, she said. But the grace of God, Lucia, will be your comfort. Yet upon her saying, the grace of God will be your comfort, Mary opened her hands to them, and the light emitted from her hands penetrated our breasts, she wrote, reaching the innermost part of our souls, making us see ourselves in the best of mirrors. We knelt down immediately and said, O most holy Trinity, I adore thee, my God. I love you in the most blessed sacrament. Our Lady said, pray the rosary every day to obtain peace for the world. And she immediately began to rise and go to the east. Christ, when he comes back, will come from the east. He entered the Jerusalem gate from the east. Mary goes back to heaven from the east. Second apparition, there's 50 bystanders, and there's a great bright light again. And they heard a whispering sound like buzzing of bees. Mary says, I want you to come here on the 13th of the next month as well and pray the rosary. And Lucia, I need you to read. She was illiterate. I shall say later what I want from you. Lucia said, I would like you to ask us to take us to heaven. Mary says, yes. I will take Jacinta and Francisco soon. They would die of the Spanish flu a year later that wiped out 100 million people. Again, she's outside of time and space. She knows what's going to happen to those two souls. She tells Lucia, they will be taken shortly. But you must remain here, Lucia. Jesus, not her, Jesus wishes to use you in order to make me known and loved. He wishes to establish a devotion to my Immaculate Heart, and I promise salvation to those who will embrace it, and these souls will be beloved by God like flowers arranged for me to adorn God's throne. Think of that. She's going to arrange your soul at God's throne. And she says, will I have to stay here alone? No, my daughter. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the road that will lead you to God. Upon saying these last words, she opened her hands again and emitted the light. And we saw ourselves immersed in God. Think of that. In front of Our Lady's right hand, there was a heart encircled with thorns that pierced it. She's been insulted by the sins of humanity, which deserve reparation. She once again went to the east and left. Third apparition. The father of Jacinta and Francisco are present. He notices a small grayish cloud hover over the oak tree where Mary would appear, and the sunlight diminished and a cool breeze came over the mountains. He heard a sound like buzzing flies in a jar. And then the light came with Our Lady. Mary said to them, I want you to come next month on the 13th and continue to pray the rosary in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary and to obtain a peace for the world and an end to the war. For she alone can be of any avail. Lucia says, can you please give us a miracle? Mary says, in October, that'll be the sixth apparition, I will tell you who I am and what I wish, and I will perform a miracle that everyone shall see so they believe. See, the message is faith. It's not that there's, give me a miracle. No. You will believe in Jesus. It's for conversion. In the third apparition, they're given the vision of hell. Let me read this to you. Our Lady showed us a great sea of fire which seemed to be under the earth. Plunged into this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers. Picture this. All blackened in burnished bronze, floating about in the conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames that issue from within themselves. You're just constantly burning. With a great cloud of smoke falling back on every side like sparks in a huge wildfire without weight or equilibrium. And amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us, we trembled. How can we ever be grateful enough to the kind Heavenly Mother who already told us in her first apparition we were going to go to heaven? Otherwise, I think we would have died on the spot of fear. Mary continues, you have now seen hell where the souls of sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish a devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. World War I will end, but if people do not cease offending God, there will be a greater war during the pontificate of Pius XI. She already knew World War II. When you see a knight illumined by an unknown light, know that this is the great sign given to you by God, and he's about to punish the world for its crimes by means of war. What causes war? Sin, famine, and persecutions of the church, and the Holy Father will suffer. To prevent World War II, I shall come to you and ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart, and, there's two parts, the communion of reparations on the first five Saturdays. Now, there's a lot of controversy in the church whether we have ever consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart. I believe John Paul II consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart. Mary was very specific. Russia. Okay. The Communion for reparations of the offense. The five first Saturdays. What are the offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary? One, these are the five offenses. Blaspheming against her Immaculate Conception. A lot of Protestant Christians. Oh, she's just a woman. God would have picked somebody else. She wasn't immaculate. Okay. Number two, blaspheming against her perpetual virginity. Second dogma. Okay. The quote-unquote religion of Islam believes that Muhammad himself has Mary to himself for eternity. It's disgusting. It's what they believe. It's one of their six pillars of faith. Number three, the blasphemes against her divine maternity and refusal to acknowledge her as the mother of God to your children. We're supposed to teach all generations. All generations shall call me blessed. The Canticle of Mary. The fourth insulting thing, instilling indifference and contempt or hatred toward her or in the hearts of your prodigy. And the fifth, insults and desecration against any sacred image of her. Look what's going on, the sacking of churches, the smashing of the statues. And she goes on, Mary goes on and says, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she'll spread her errors throughout the world and communism will cause wars and persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred and the Holy Father will suffer much. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart, though, will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia finally and she will be converted and a period of peace will be granted to the world. In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved. Many of the church fathers wrote that the angel that guards the state of Portugal is incredibly powerful. Portugal will never lose the faith. Do not tell this to anyone, but you may tell Francisco. When you say the rosary from now on, after each mystery, please add, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially in the need of thy most mercy. She then disappeared to the east. You want to know where that came from? Mary herself. Fourth apparition. The mayor is going to abduct and imprison the seers. Sound like lords again. And they do that. They imprison all. They imprison the three on August 13th, so Mary doesn't appear. You don't screw around with the supernatural. They're in charge. On August 19th, about 4 p.m., the three seers get an inkling from Mary, and the atmospheric changes are occurring again, and they run back to the oak tree. And here's the excerpts from the fourth apparition. Mary says, I want you to continue to come here on the 13th of the last 2 months and continue to pray the rosary. On the last month, I will perform a miracle so that all may believe. Lucia says, I would like to please ask you for some healings of some sick people. Mary says, I will. I will cure some during the year. Mary then says, I recommend you practice mortification. Okay, again, she's a penitent. She's doing penance for sinners. And she says, pray much and sacrifice for sinners. Many souls are going to hell because they have no one to sacrifice for them nor pray for them. We're one community. God made us all. She went to the east and came and disappeared. In the fifth apparition, there's 20,000 people. The atmospheric phenomena occurs again, but this time the sun dims and stars become visible during the day. Rain begins to fall like iridescent snowflakes that never touch the ground. Think of that. Mary appears and she says to the seers, continue to pray the rosary to the end of the war. Next month, our Lord himself will come, and I will come as Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and St. Joseph with Child to bless the world. Lucia, God is pleased with your sacrifices. but he doesn't want you to sleep with the ropes anymore. This girl was mortifying herself so much she would tie herself so tight with ropes to create pain for herself. Mary said, don't sleep with them. She's probably cutting off circulation. And she said, your request to cure sick people will be heard. And Lucia said, I'd like you to heal my friend, a deaf mute. Mary said, I will do that. And in October, I will come and give the world a miracle. Now again, there's 8 billion people on the planet. Why aren't we telling everybody about this? This is on film. It was filmed. Okay, you had atheists there. You had non-Catholics there. You had Catholics there. There's the miracle of the sun. There's 70,000 people there on October 13th, 1917. Mary says, I want a chapel here built in my honor. I am the Lady of the Rosary. The war will end and soldiers will return home. She opened her hands and Mary shone light issuing onto the sun. And as she rose in her own radiance into the sun, the light continued to be cast upon us. Lucia screams, look at the sun. Everyone saw Our Lady had appeared into the firmament. And the seers see three scenes. Lucia sees all three, the other two only see the first one. They symbolize the joyful mysteries of the rosary, the sorrowful mysteries, and finally the glorious mysteries. Scene one, the joyous. Saint Joseph appears beside the sun with the child Jesus and Our Lady of the Rosary, the Holy Family. She's dressed in white and blue. Joseph was also dressed in white, and the child Jesus was in red. Saint Joseph blessed the crowd, making the sign of the cross along with Christ. The second scene, only Lucia sees this, is Our Lady of Sorrows with a sword in her breast. And our Lord, overwhelmed with sorrows, she sees him walking to Calvary. Jesus made the sign of the cross to bless all the people. Scene three, Lucia sees Our Lady of Mount Carmel, queen as heaven, crowned as queen of heaven and earth, in a glorious vision holding Jesus next to her heart. While these are occurring, all 70,000 people see the miracle of the sun. When she said, look at the sun, while this is going on, this is what everybody else sees. The sun becomes a silver disk, shining but not blinding. You could look at it. The sun begins to dance, spinning rapidly like a circle of fire, stopping and starting. Its rim is scarlet red, whirling, shooting flames across the sky, in three patterns, three times, the globe seems to tremble, shake, and then zigzag, plummeting towards Earth. Picture this. And then it pulls back. It occurs over 10 minutes, and it pulls back to its original position and becomes bright again. It had poured rain just before this happened. Everybody's standing there soaking wet. People noticed after this occurred, all their clothes were perfectly dry. It was seen by people 25 miles in a radius. We don't talk about it. Our Lady's warning us. Here's another famous quote from Mary. Tell them they must amend their lives and ask forgiveness of their sins. Offend the Lord no more, for he is already much offended. I won't spend time on the third secret of Fatima. I'll just give you a highlight. She wrote, I write in obedience to you, my God. She was told to write it down. Who commanded me to do so through His Excellency, the Bishop, and through our Most Holy Mother. I've already released the two parts of the secrets, Our Lady. The third secret is, I saw an angel with a flaming sword in his left hand flashing it. It gave out flames that looked as if it was going to set the whole world on fire. But it died out in contact with the splendor of Our Lady. Our Lady's holding back God's wrath from her right hand. Pointing to the earth with his right hand, the angel cried out, penance, penance, penance. How much more consistent can we be? And we saw an immense light that is God, similar to how people see themselves in a mirror passed in front of us. A bishop dressed in white, who I interpreted as the Holy Father, with other bishops, priests, men, and religious, going up a steep mountain where there was a top, at the top there was a giant cross. Before getting there, the Holy Father passed through a big city, half in ruins, strewn with corpses. He was trembling, afflicted with pain and sorrow as he prayed for the souls on his way. When he reached the top of the mountain on his knees at the foot of the cross, he was killed by a group of soldiers. In the same way, they all died there, one after the other, the bishops, the priests, the religious, the martyrs. And beneath the two arms of the cross, I saw two angels appear with a crystal, see-through, aspersorium, that's what they sprinkle holy water with, and they gathered up the blood of the martyrs as they made their way to God. Our Lady of Akita. This one's interesting. It occurred, I'm a little over, I'll hurry up, I'm sorry. 73 to 81. The statue of Our Lady Akita has wept blood, sweat, and tears of Mary 101 times. She died, by the way, recently in August of 24. She was 93. And her guardian angel told her, don't be surprised that she weeps. She weeps for the conversion of the greatest numbers. She wants all souls to meet Jesus. The guardian angel told her, why 101 times? The angel said, this signifies the first one, signifies Eve, because sin came into the world through a woman. And it also by a woman, salvation will come into the world. That's the last one. The zero between signifies God is eternal without time, from eternity to all eternity. Pray the rosary and heresy in the church. I'll read you just one. If men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict terrible punishment on all humanity. Fire will fall from the sky and wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priests nor faithful. The only arms which will remain for you will be the rosary and the sign left by my son. Each day, pray the rosary. He is a jealous God. Listen to this, Mary said. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way, this is 1973, we approve Roe versus Wade here in 72, so over a billion abortions have been done, that one. The work of the devil will infiltrate into the church such a way that we will see cardinals opposing cardinals and bishops opposing bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by their confreres. Churches and altars will be sacked. The church will be full of those who accept compromise, and the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. Mary said this, pray very much the rosary. I alone am able to help you and save you from the calamities that will approach. Those who place their confidence in me, our Blessed Mother, will be saved from all calamities. Last but not least, Garabandal, Spain. This one is not yet approved. Benedict XVI moved it into not unapproved, not approved. Not yet established. This one is damning on the church. It's Fatima 2.0. There are thousands of them that occurred here. In fact, if you can remember this, Google on YouTube, Garabandal, the waterfall, and watch it. It's an hour long. It's the people who lived. They're in their 80s. They want it documented for us. They're about to die. This actually occurred. In fact, the reason I'm following this one is Conchita, the lead seer. St. Padre Pio ordered his burial cloth of his face to be given to her upon his death. And Pio wrote them a letter. The apparitions occurred from 61 to 65, right when Vatican II was going on. A lot of stuff going on in the church. Padre Pio wrote this letter dated March 3rd, 1962. Dear girls at Garabandal,
At 9 o'clock this morning, the Blessed Virgin Mary told me about you, O dear girls, about your visions, and said me to say this to you. O blessed are you, girls of San Sebastian de Garabandal. I promise that I will be with you until the end of the centuries, and you will be with me until the end of the world, and united with me in heaven. That's Mary. Together with what she said, I'm sending you a copy of the Holy Rosary of Fatima, which the Blessed Virgin Mary has ordered to send me. She dictated it. She wants it to be propagated for the salvation of sinners and perseverance of humanity from the terrible punishment which God is now threatening. Pray and make others pray, because the world is on the road to perdition. Girls, they do not believe in you or in your conversation with Our Lady, but they will come to believe, but it will be too late. St. Padre Pio. The other saint, St. Teresa of Calcutta, which was Conchita's advisor, said before her death, from the beginning, I believed everything they said. There's over 2,000 of these apparitions. And what would happen to these girls is they would go into ecstasy, and they would run up hills backwards on cobblestone roads in this village in San Garabandal, Spain. And they'd fall down in ecstasy. They never scratched their knee. Grown men couldn't pick them up. Doctors put pins and cigarettes in their arms. They were impervious to pain. Shine lights in their eyes. Their eyes would never blink. And St. Michael, the archangel, puts the host in Conchita's mouth. It's on film. So what's interesting about this is she appears as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, same as Our Lady of Fatima. And Conchita is still alive. She's at 77. She won't talk. But apparently, Mary's told her, there'll be a great miracle. The Lord will give humanity one last chance to convert. And Conchita said it will be on a Thursday, a holy day, at 8:30 p.m., it'll last 15 minutes, and a sign will appear over Garabandal, Spain. Everyone will be healed there, and the sign will remain in the sky forever. She'll announce the date 8 days in advance in order to prepare the world that a supernatural warning will occur. All will see it and understand it, regardless of their knowledge of God. Think about that. You may not even know who God or Jesus is. You're going to understand it. It'll be a terrible experience, but it's for the well-being of your soul, because you will see your own conscience and how God sees you. That interior look at your own soul. You can give him one last chance. Some people say time will stop. Like if you're in an airplane when this occurs, think about this. It's just going to stop in midair. And you're going to see yourself, how God sees you. And after the miracle, if the world does not change, the great chastisement will come. If we do not change, the chastisement will be horrible. It's your illumination of your conscience. And this is what she said. We must make many sacrifices and do much penance and visit the Blessed Sacrament frequently. Talk about that tomorrow night. But first, we must lead a good life. If we do not, a chastisement will befall us. The cup is already overflowing. At the end, St. Michael, blessed, was sent by the Virgin Mary to impart a message to Conchita. By the way, there was a Conchita, they saw miracles. There was a priest there that came from Italy. He was 30 years old, perfect health. And she's in ecstasy. His name is Father, I forget his name. Andre. He comes right in and cuts in front of Conchita and sees it. And he's driving down the hill with his brother, who's also a priest, in the car and said, miracle, miracle. I've seen the miracle. The next morning, he didn't wake up. He was dead. Perfectly, he wasn't supposed to see it. Now, Conchita said, when the miracle occurs, you can dig up Father Andre. He'll be incorrupt. This is the message Mary said. As my message is not, this is occurring during Vatican II, has not been promulgated to the world, I will tell you this is my last message. Before the cup was filling up, now it's overflowing. Many cardinals, bishops, and priests, this is Mary, are on the road to perdition and are taking many souls with them. Less and less importance has been given to my son in the Eucharist. Please turn the wrath of God away from yourselves. If you ask for his forgiveness with a sincere heart, he will forgive you. I, your mother, through the intercession of Michael the Archangel, ask you and beg you to amend your lives. You are receiving the last warning. I love you very much and do not want anyone condemned. Pray with all sincerity. You should make more sacrifice. Meditate on the Passion of Christ. That concludes tonight. Thank you for the lecture time. I promise tomorrow will be shorter. And there's some refreshments.
Thank you, Paul. And as Paul said, we'll get these up on the website tomorrow, and so you can review what was said today, and tomorrow bring those notes, and you can be ready to take notes. Thanks so much, Paul, and thank you for coming. So tomorrow, as Paul said, we'll hear another talk on the Eucharist. I invite you to bring a friend. The Eucharist is a source and summit of our faith, right? So, thank you very much for to the ushers for coming. The free will offering will go to cover the expenses of the mission. So thank you for being generous. But grab a friend, bring them tomorrow. We also have Mass at 6 p.m., and the talk will follow. So that would be a great thing to do during Lent. We will have hospitality after the collection in the cafeteria, which is right through the meeting rooms. There you can also meet Paul and Beth and speak to them, ask some questions. They have two books there. And the proceeds from all of the proceeds from their books go to the Sisters of Life for pro-life and post-abortive ministry, and also to the Franciscan Friars of the Holy Spirit who use it for their Indian ministry. So please check out the books, purchase them for yourself or a friend, and we will see you tomorrow night. God bless you.